Chapter 2. Broken Streetlights. Finding Our Commonality Amid Crisis. In 2004, my family and I moved to the west side of San Antonio. In San Antonio, the west side was not considered the good neighborhood. The median income on the west side was about $19,000 per household, and the average house had three generations living in it. Only 3% of the community had access to a personal computer, and the highest performing high school had a 50% dropout rate. Despite, or maybe because of, the neighborhood's troubles, I was about to start working there, and we decided to buy a house in the community. Not long after moving in, we became friends with our neighbors, Lupe and Luis. They were devout Catholics and had a large family. Lupe and Luis, their 8 children, and Lupe's 2 elderly parents all shared the same home. 4 of their kids were about the same age as our children, and they would come to our home to play with our 2 young sons when they would get out of school. Sometimes the kids were dirty, hungry, and playing without shoes. We suspected that their water would regularly get turned off, that there was not sufficient food in their house, particularly toward the end of the month, and that shoes were saved for special occasions. They would come over and play games inside and run around outside. Their favorite thing to do was to play with our water hose, especially during the hot summer months in South Texas. They also loved it when my wife would bring out fresh fruit to eat, or when we had extra change and let them buy something from the ice cream truck. Because when school was out for the summer, those snacks were possibly the only thing they got to eat during the day. In addition to raising her children, Lupe was the primary caregiver to her wheelchair-bound parents. Every morning, Lupe would get her kids ready for school and then help her parents onto the bus so they could go to a neighborhood senior center where they would spend part of their day. After her parents were gone for the day, Lupe would volunteer at her kids' schools. She knew that the only way her children could escape the harsh realities of poverty was through education, and her goal was for each of them to graduate high school and then hopefully attend San Antonio Community College. This wasn't her goal for just her own children. Lupe wanted to see all the children in the community succeed, so she diligently championed education as a committed volunteer. Luis worked a full-time job and had an additional job on the weekends, a common practice among community members. Most people in the neighborhood did not have full-time employment with one employer, so they would piece together 2 or 3 jobs, sometimes working 60 to 80 hours a week when they were lucky. One day, after we had been neighbors for a few years, Lupe got an ear infection, and she did not have health insurance or a doctor. Her family had only one small car that Luis used to get to work each day. So, of course, Lupe's ear infection went untreated. Eventually, it became unbearably painful. So, after getting her kids ready and sending her parents off, Lupe got on a bus herself and went to a downtown hospital where she sat in the lobby of the emergency room all day, waiting to be seen. She still had not been seen when it was time for her to catch a bus so she could make it back home in time to greet her kids after school. So she left, still untreated. Later that evening, Lupe's eardrum ruptured. The infection went into her brain and caused her to go into a coma. Lupe never woke up. The evening after she died, Luis and his sons made the rounds in our neighborhood, collecting money for Lupe's burial. We stood together on my front porch.